Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Pony and Muller presented by Schaefer and Luhana. Injury law firm doing good by doing right. Some Joe Walsh. Some Dave Logan on KOA, Broncos Radio Network. Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger in there. The Steelers beat the Broncos 26-21 yesterday at Heinz Field. And I have mixed feelings on this game. I'm going to ask for your help, Chris Muller. We got Cale Berger producing, Dan Marino's nephew. We got thousands of you out there listening wherever you are, in your car, at work, 93.7thefan.com, radio.com app. I have mixed feelings on this game because there seems to be, among Steelers fans, there seems to be an argument or a debate over whether or not you're allowed to complain after wins. And my first instinct, my gut instinct after watching that game yesterday, even though the Steelers won by 5, my first instinct is to bitch. I am happy that the Steelers won. I am not really happy with the way they played. Would anybody like to talk me out of that to start today's show, Chris? Would you like to be the first batter up here and tell me that I'm not allowed to complain after a win?
No.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. Okay. That it? We good here?
Pretty mediocre game. The quarterback was actually correct. I rip him sometimes for, like, the false, beating himself up when he shouldn't because he knows it sounds good, but he was right. He threw an abhorrent interception. His receivers did him no favors. Deontay Johnson could have put this thing away, but he dropped a pass. There were 4 drops in this game. I would argue that the only major positive that I would take out of a game where they had to deal with Jeff Driscoll for most of it.
Yeah, that's
a guy
where...
who I didn't even think was good in college. I saw Gentile's timeline I think it was Gentile making fun of how horrible Jeff Driscoll is. And he almost beat the Steelers. When I think about this game, I think thank God they were good enough at the very least to manage to put away the Broncos. But if you're looking at, say, the way Baltimore has looked in a very micro sense in your own division through 2 games. If you're even looking at the way Kansas City was able to do, although Kansas City's game was similar, but they throttled the Texans in week 1. The Steelers, to me, do not look like the third best team in the AFC, which is where I would have put them. You know who impressed me more in defeat than the Steelers did in victory? The New England Patriots and Cam Newton, who appear like they're going to be a problem this year. So if you're trying to sort out where the Steelers stand in the AFC pecking order, I don't think that this performance gives you a whole lot of optimism. I thought their defense was pretty bad too, despite all the sacks that people were fawning over. Bud Dupree, I write a column about how great he looked in week 1. He disappears for the most part in week 2, despite that little forced fumble. That was a TJ Watt play. He was the only guy that was really good. Where was Minkah Fitzpatrick? I mean, my God, so much of the optimism around this team has been tied up in how great this defense is going to be, and a lot of that has been tied up in how great people think Minkah is going to be. He was non-existent yesterday. He was their lowest-graded defender at Pro Football Focus, and that checks out with what my eyes told me.
Yeah, I would have told you 26-21 over the Broncos and their anointed franchise quarterback, Drew Lock, might not be, the ugliest win in the world, but as soon as Jeff Driscoll goes in, the game's supposed to be over right then and there. This is a guy that was 1-7 in his career with a 79 passer rating, which is below what the, you know, the Steelers got from Mason Rudolph last year. I mean, we lived the backup quarterback nightmare. We know how hard it is to win games now in the NFL when you're on the other side of the quarterback tracks, when you don't have a real quarterback. And so that guy steps in, and when you're up 14 at halftime with this defense that I have called the best defense in the NFL, you're not supposed to sweat out that game. You're supposed to kick your feet up and relax at that point. You're supposed to watch domination from there on out, not have to bite your fingernails down to the cuticles at the two-minute warning because your coach did another crappy challenge, and the Broncos are inside your 20-yard line with third and two and fourth and two with the game on the line. I mean, that's what it's about to me. I mean, even after the Snell fumble, which was a momentum changer, Denver got the ball at the 40, at their own 46-yard line. They still had to go 54 yards on your defense with a backup quarterback. And that's why I'm disappointed. That's why I said mixed feelings. I'm happy they won. I thought Ben did make some plays, but in their offensive line, for the most part, you know, was good, even with the injuries. But I watched this defense that I have called the best in the NFL give up three scoring drives to Jeff Driskel in the second half. And they weren't all easy. One of them was a 65-yard drive. And think, Chris, not only did the quarterback go down, but now we see their number one wide receiver, Cortland Sutton, tore his ACL in that game too. So they were without their biggest offensive weapon, they were without their quarterback, and they were a whisker, an eyelash away from coming in here and pulling off one of the most stunning upsets in Heinz Field history. So that's why, like, if this is a season of, well, it's an accomplishment, it's a good thing if the Steelers just make the playoffs, well, then if that's how you feel about the Steelers, just pat them on the back and congratulate them for a win. But at 38 years old with Roethlisberger in this defense, I'm expecting more than just to find a way to get into the playoffs. I want them to look like they have Super Bowl caliber players. And their defense, it looked that way last Monday, but I think, like you said, the stats are misleading. I'm not the sacks and the quarterback hits, that's not what I'm going to remember.
Jeff Driskel worked them over using Tim Patrick, and granted, Noah Fant's a first-round pick, so he's a damn good tight end, and the whole point of Noah Fant is to be a matchup problem. But I have been accused, correctly and accurately, of yo-yoing on opinions, especially early in seasons when you cannot get any sort of real handle on what teams are. And after week one, I said, boy, I look like a real moron saying that this team was going to be a 9-7 club that sneaks into the postseason and maybe makes some noise once they get there. But now I feel like what I watched yesterday was more like a 9-7 team. And the two differences from yesterday's game, comparing it to like any of the games they lost in 2019, the defense actually was worse yesterday than it was in 2019 at almost any point. They had a quarterback capable of making a couple huge plays. Hodges and Rudolph don't make the throw to Claypool for the 84-yarder. Mm-hmm. They probably don't even have a guy who makes the catch and the run after catch, because Claypool did a great job to stay in bounds. And they definitely didn't have a guy last year who's making the throw to Deontay Johnson for the other touchdown.
I mean, I'm thankful
that was the difference.
Made that play at the end of the game. And
it should never have come down to
exactly,
that. It should never in a million years have come down to that. I was sitting there. You know what tells me how sick I am in the head? I was watching that game thinking, oh man, Pony has got to be beside himself watching this. I could just imagine you seething at how inconsistently and poorly they played in almost every way in that second half.
And the penalties,
too. They got worked.
The penalties, the sloppy play there was just, four pass interference calls, and then I got to hear Vince Williams tell me on Twitter afterwards that the refs screwed him over. Come on. You played Jeff Driskel. If that happened in a game against Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes and you were losing 50-50 calls to those quarterbacks, that would make it hard. It was Jeff Driskel at the helm yesterday for three quarters, and he threw two touchdown passes. But the Steelers won, so there's that. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text, and Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Maybe Mark Caboli will be able to cheer me up. There was a funny moment after the game that we'll get into with him. We'll see what one Steelers insider thinks of that win and what he thinks is now going to happen at running back moving forward. That's next on 93.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.